So the reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14, and that's on page 796 in the Bibles. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace.
Thank you very much, Bea. Do keep your Bibles open there at Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at some of those verses together. I've just got to ask a very practical question. I'm waiting someone very kindly to deliver my crucial visual aid. Has my crucial visual aid arrived? Thank you so much. Brilliant. Okay. Nobody saw that. I'm going to turn back to Romans 6. And I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are a king who is alive and a king who speaks to us, his people. And we pray now that by your Spirit, as we look at your word together, you would indeed speak to us. And we pray that what we hear from you would set us free. Amen. Okay, here's my question. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Now, some people say, well, a Christian is someone who believes in Jesus. So there's the Christian, and there is Jesus up there, and here is a Christian who believes in Jesus. Yeah? And there's some truth in that, isn't there? A Christian is someone who believes in Jesus. But what happens when on Monday morning, over breakfast, your sister annoys you and you poke her? And she pokes you back. And then you start calling each other all kinds of names. And mum gets dragged in and the whole thing escalates. See? You believe in Jesus. There you are. You believe in Jesus. What difference does it make, though, your believing in Jesus? So if you think that being a Christian is just about believing in Jesus, the danger is there'll be times like Monday morning when Jesus will seem to be irrelevant. And you'll give up believing in Jesus. You say, well, okay, it's not just someone who believes in Jesus, it's someone who's trying to follow the example of Jesus. So there we go, there's Jesus, there are you, and you're following Jesus. And when Jesus goes this way, you go this way. And when Jesus goes this way, you go this way. And Jesus moves to the right, you go to the right. When Jesus moves to the left, you go to the left. And that's great, there's truth in that. A Christian is someone who follows Jesus. But what happens when it's really hard to follow him? Jesus says, follow me, and you're tagging along. And Jesus says, be generous, because I'm generous. And you say, well, I don't really want to be generous. Or what happens when Jesus says, talk to the person who everyone else ignores, because that's what I'm like. Think, well, I don't really want to talk to the person who everyone else ignores. Or what happens when Jesus says, follow me and be patient with your family? And you say, well, it's hard to be patient with my family. See, if we think following Jesus, being a Christian is just about following Jesus, there's a good chance we'll just get left behind. And it'll become too hard. And we'll give up. We'll say, I can't follow Jesus. I can't be like Jesus. The way the Bible describes what a Christian is, more than any other way, is a Christian is someone who is in Christ. I think there's a picture that's coming up on the screen. In other words, not just sitting here believing in Jesus, not just tagging along, following after Jesus, but in Jesus. In Jesus. Now, what that means is, whatever is true about the kind of mother doll is true about the baby doll. Okay? I'm going to ask some noddy questions here. These are not trick questions, they're noddy questions. Where is the mother doll? On my head, okay? Where is the baby doll? On my head. See? Where the mother is, the baby is. Okay, another question. Not a trick question. Where is the mother doll? On the stage. Where is the baby doll? We're getting the hang of it. We've absolutely got the hang of it. You see, what is true of the mother doll is true of the baby doll. And the fact that we are in Christ means what is true of Jesus is true of us. Look at verse 3. It's going to come up on the screen, but look at verse 3 for yourself. It says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. Everything that's true of him is true of us. So Jesus is loved by his Father in heaven, and if we're in him, we too are loved by our Father in heaven. You say, well, hold on, how can that be? That sounds a bit strange. Well, have a look at this picture of a rugby team. My son and I are big fans of Bristol rugby. And this season, we won the league. Now, neither of us actually scored a try. Neither Tom or I scored a try for Bristol Rugby. Neither of us put in a tackle. Neither of us, in fact, put any time on the pitch at all. But we're fans. So we can say, we won the league. We got into the playoff final. And last week, we drove up to Worcester for the playoff final to watch it. And with 10 minutes to go, Bristol Rugby were winning by 14 points. With 10 minutes to go, neither Tom nor I had touched the ball once, but we were heading into the Premiership. We were looking forward to a season of Premiership rugby. We were just emotional thinking about it, thinking of all the teams we were going to play, all these years of waiting, and then it all unraveled. Bristol Rugby gave away 2 tries and lost with the last kick of the game. Tom and I weren't on the pitch, but we lost. We were not going to be promoted to the Premiership. We would not be watching Bristol play Bath or Wasps or Saracens. We drove home in silence. We never touched a ball, but you see, what's true of the team was true of us. What is a Christian? It's not just we believe in Jesus out there, or we're following along behind Jesus, but we are in Christ. We are in Christ. And that means what's true of him is true of us in 2 particular ways. If you are a Christian and you're in Christ today, it means you've been to a funeral and there's been a birthday. Funeral and a birthday. Let's start with a funeral. Let's have the funeral picture up. And because we're doing a funeral, you wear a black armband at a funeral. And what Paul says is that Jesus died on a cross. But if we are in Christ, remember, what's true of him is true of us, which means we died with him. Do you see what he says in verse 3? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized, you see, into his death? Or verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Or verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, do you see what Paul is saying? We are united with him in his death. Remember the rugby? We weren't on the pitch, but because they lost, we lost. You and I weren't on the cross, but because Jesus died, we have died. Why did Jesus die? Well, the reason this world is such a mess, such a world of tears, is because without Jesus, we live me-first lives. I do what I want to do at the breakfast table on a Monday morning, or on a busy junction in the road, or in my relationships. And if I am me first, and you are going around being you first, it's no surprise that things in this world get ugly, that they end in tears. And the Bible calls that kind of me first living sin. And it says that sin has a grip on us. It means we do things we wish we hadn't done. And we say things we wish we could unsay. And we try to stop, but we can't. It's like we're slaves to sin, says Paul. And that's why if being a Christian is just about trying to follow Jesus, it's not going to last very long. Because I keep doing what I want to do. And Jesus only does what God wants him to do. So if I'm just trying to follow Jesus, it's going to be really hard. It's not going to last 5 minutes. Because I'm in the grip of what I want to do. And what Paul says is because Jesus loves us, he came into our world and he died on a cross to set us free from the grip of sin. Do you see what he says in verse 6? For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who's died has been freed from sin. When he died, it was like it was our funeral. At my funeral, my old life will be over. I will be dead. I'll be buried. And what Paul is saying is, if we are in Christ, there's been a funeral. My old life, that me first life, that life of sin that had a grip on me, that ruined everything, is over. It's dead. It's buried. So becoming a Christian is like you've been to a funeral. Your old self is dead and buried. But it's also like you've been to a birthday party. Last time I played with fire, it got quite dangerous and a lot of people got quite worried. So I'm promised not to do that. But just as a little, just for a little bit of pyrotechnic fun, I'm going to light a candle on a cake. See, at birthday, you always have a birthday cake. It wouldn't be a birthday without one. So I'll just set it there and try not to be too distracted by the flame. I've got my eye on it, okay? On the cross, Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. He beat death, and he rose up from the grave. He rose to new life, which is going to last forever. And remember, if we are in Christ, what's true of Jesus is true of us. He has been raised to life. So Paul says, we've been raised to new life. Look at verse 4 again. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Look at verse 5, the second half of it. We will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Look at verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. Do you see what Paul is saying? He's saying Jesus is alive forever. And if we are in him, then so are we, alive forever. And that's why Jesus says becoming a Christian is like being born again. It's like there's been a birthday. It's like you've started a whole new life. Now, for this next bit, I need three helpers. I'm going to blow this out. I need three helpers to come and join me up on the stage. They can be any sort of size or any sort of age. But it'd be great if there were three of them. They probably need to be a little bit bigger. Okay, folk at the back there, I can see. Who can I see there? Max and Isabel? And who's that in the cap? I can't see. George, okay, come to the front. Join me at the front.
Do you want to come as well, Ezra? We can have four. Four's all right. Okay. Now, come and join me up here. Okay, this has never been done before, so anything could happen. Okay. Right, George, can you grab hold of that? Ezra, can you come and grab hold of that? Okay. And Max and Isabel, isn't it? Yes, yes. You come and stand here, just there. Okay, right. What we have here is a visual aid of the baptism that is going to happen a little bit later on, okay? The sheet is the water, and Isabel and Max are going to be baptized. Not really baptized, just a picture of what's going to happen a little bit later on. So can you stand behind the sheet in the water? It's a little bit chilly, okay? Now, do you remember, Jesus died. Okay, so what's going to happen to Mandy and Izzy a little bit later on is we're going to dunk Mandy and Izzy down under the water. Can you duck down behind the sheet? Brilliant. Okay, they've died. Max and Isabel have... Stay down. They've died, okay? Jesus died. They have died. Their old life has come to an end, okay? But we're not going to leave them under the water. We're not going to walk away and go to tea and leave. We're going to raise them up again. Max and Isabel, raise up again. There we go. Jesus raised from the dead, and if we're in Christ, we too have been raised to new life. That's what we're going to do outside, okay? That's what it means. Thank you very much, all of you. You go back to your seats. That was brilliant. Now, the thing is, those are some very big ideas, aren't they? Those are some very big ideas to get our heads around. So I just want to end by going, well, what does this all mean? Well, what it means is if you are in Christ, the old you, the me first you, has died. And there's a whole new you. And do you know what this new you is like? This new you is like Jesus. You see, you and I were not created to live for sin. That the me first life, it's ugly. And we just can't stop. It makes slaves of us. You and I were created not for sin, but for God. To live for Him. That's freedom. That's life as it's meant to be. It's beautiful. And if you are not sure about that, look at Jesus. Look at him and you see how a human being was meant to live. You see someone whose life was beautiful. You see someone who was free. And that's because he didn't go me first. He lived God first. And in his love, he came to set us free so we could live God-first lives. Do you see what Paul says in verse 10? The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do you see? He lives to God. And in him, we are alive to God. The old me lived for me. The new me in Christ, you see, has been set free to live for God. So a Christian is not just someone who believes in Jesus. A Christian is not just someone who is following Jesus. A Christian is someone who is in Christ. And in Christ, we become a whole new person. A person who now has power to live the life that human beings were created to live for God. A life that's beautiful, a life that's free. So in Christ, there is a new you. And the new you is the true you. Now I need to say to Izzy and Mandy, as they get baptized a little bit later on, and I need to say to the students who've been on a weekend away, for whom this is the last Sunday of the year, some are heading off to the summer, some are heading away from Bristol to begin a new chapter in their lives. And actually, I need to say to all of us who are in Christ, remember who you are. Because there'll be times when sin will whisper in your ear, oh, come on, put yourself first. Do what you want to do. It's what everyone else does. And anyway, we all know what a mess you've made in the past. I mean, we all know the sort of person that you are. You are the sort of person who puts yourself first. And the answer to that whisper is, yes, that is who I was, but it's not who I am. I am in Christ. And the old me is dead. So that's why Paul says you don't need to listen to the voice of sin. And so often the reason we mess up in the Christian life is we forget who we are. And Paul says, you're in Christ. There's been a funeral. The old you is dead. But there's also been a birthday. The new you, the true you, the living for God is alive and well. So there'll be other times when living for God seems very hard. When it's hard to stand up for the person who's picked on at school. Or it's hard to give up an evening to help a neighbor in need. Or it's hard to love people who are difficult to love, people in your family. Or it's hard to control yourself on the internet. And a little voice will whisper, oh, you might as well give up. You can't live for God. Yes, you can. Remember who you are. You are in Christ. You've been raised from dead to life. The power that raised Jesus is at work in you. You can live for God because you're in Christ. And can I say, if you're here this afternoon and you're not a Christian, it's really good to have you here, especially if you've come to cheer for Izzy or for Mandy. I don't know what you think Christianity is all about. I think Paul would sum it up by saying it's about being set free. Free from the slavery of me first living to the freedom of living for God. Don't you want to be set free? Wouldn't you long to be set free? Well, the answer is not just to be someone who believes in Jesus. I tick that box. Not just to be someone who is trying to follow Jesus, trying hard to be better. No, the answer is much more radical than that. The answer is to put your whole life into Jesus' hands, to put yourself in him so that you are in him. Do that, and there'll be a funeral. Your old life will end. And there'll be a birthday. Your new life will start. And you will be free to live the life we were created for. And it'll be beautiful. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to set us free to live the life we were created for. And we pray for those of us who are yours that we would remember who we are, that we are in you, that all that's true of you is true of us. And we praise you for that. Amen.